Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with New York Times bestselling author Jennifer Cheverini. She's back with us to talk about her latest book, which I really enjoyed. As a matter of fact, I finished reading it during the Packers game on Sunday, and I got much more pleasure out of the book than watching the Packers, to be perfectly honest. So we'll find out some more about the subject of her book, Ada Lovelace. She's a remarkable person, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But you know what? We're in our year-end membership drive, and it's your chance to support the programs that you count on every day on the Ideas Network. Programs that keep you in touch, informed, interested, and your gift at WPR right now is very important as we end this year, and we look forward to 2018. What did we hear from last hour? Last hour we heard from, I think, 25. We heard from about 25 pledgers, and thank you for those pledged. Right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,200, and this generous match is an anonymous members and 9XM's leadership circle gift from Laura Hagen and from Iola, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support of the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or go ahead and phone 888-202-2552. Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time because, I think, because we're committed to quality. And since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you. Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. When you donate, where do you go? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone. What's the phone number? 888-202-2552. There it is. Maybe one of your first childhood memories was hearing WPR on your parents' radio. That's where I first heard Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe you got hooked just like me. You can't get enough of the news, the in-depth conversations, the music, the great entertainment. And now that you're all grown up like me, it's your turn to become a member like I am and like your parents are. To help pay for the hours of high-quality program you've enjoyed day after day and year after year. So I want you to join the WPR family right now. Support the radio that's been a part of your life since you can remember. Start with a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $10 or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Larry Mueller here. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all of the programs you enjoy on the air. And let's say your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. I've had some folks who have contributed $100 a month, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the amount is. We appreciate and we count on your gift. We know you value your time. We value your time, too. So giving just takes a couple of minutes. Tell us your name, the contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. It's quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you're not a sustainer, let me bring that up to you. Maybe you can become one right now. easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you haven't done it yet, do it right now while you're listening to Jennifer Chevarini. I tell you what, her new book is called Enchantress of Numbers, and it's a book, a novel about Ada Lovelace. Lovelace? Is it Lovelace or Lovelace? Let me turn on your microphone. There. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I really enjoyed your book, and I was going to put it down for the while the Packers game was on, but then I thought, you know what? I'm right in the spot where I needed. I couldn't put the book down at that point, and so I read right through the Packers, and frankly, I didn't see a whole lot of that game because I was reading. Many of your books, you know, it's really interesting. Have looked at figures from America's Civil War. I know what drew your attention to someone who was from the early 1800s and British besides?
Well, I really enjoy writing novels about women who have made extraordinary achievements or were extraordinarily gifted in some way, but maybe in the present day we have forgotten their stories or they weren't really told much beyond their own lifetimes. And Ada Lovelace was someone that I had heard about many years ago in the context with Charles Babbage, with whom she collaborated in England after she came out in London Society. But I hadn't really followed her story very closely, but after I finished writing Fates and Traitors and I was ready to begin a new book, I was not really having a lot of luck with various ideas I'd thought about. And then it was actually my husband who came to me, and he and our two sons are big Lego fans, and they happened to see something on the Lego website about a proposed one of those Lego kits about Ada Lovelace and Charles Babbage and the analytical engine. And then I was like, I remember hearing about her. And so usually I discover an idea for a novel while I'm researching a previous novel. While I'm researching one character, I'll discover some other amazing historical figure. And maybe that person will be a secondary character in my current book, but I'll file that away and I'll keep it in my memory and think, oh, I should go back to them. But this was a very different way for me to get an idea. So I give all credit for the idea for this novel to my husband.
It's called the machine was an analytical engine, or was it? I forgot now.
Yes,
analytical engine or machine?
They use a lot of the words interchangeably. But
okay.
Yes, they called these early computers calculating engines or calculating machines. And Charles Babbage actually did invent two different ones. The first was the difference engine, but then even before he could get the funding and get anything more than a demonstration model of that built, he came up with an even better design, the analytical engine. And it was this machine that Ada Lovelace realized would be absolutely revolutionary. She realized, even more than Charles Babbage, the inventor, did, how these calculating engines, how these early computers could transform the world. Charles Babbage knew that it could transform navigation and commerce and things of that sort, but Ada realized that one of these machines, it could not only crunch numbers, but anything that could be represented by symbolic language. One example she liked to use was music. Music can be represented by symbols. But anything that could be represented in that way could be employed in by one of these advanced machines, especially the analytical engine, and could just do all kinds of extraordinary things. Now, to us, we realize, well, of course computers are going to, of course they would transform the world. But back then, it was a very revolutionary idea.
1820, somewhere around in there?
Right,
I can't remember.
Right.
Yeah, it was about 1820.
1830s, 1840s. And the machines, there had been earlier versions of calculating engines, but Babbage's was absolutely breakthrough. All he had to do was get the funding to build it. And then as now, it can be very challenging to get funding for your scientific research.
Well, for Ada, I think the greater part of the book is about just her life and how she came to have that kind of skill and facility to be able to come up with the things that she came up with in terms of that analytical machine. And that was really fascinating to me. Talk about her and, you know, the parents. She had some really interesting parents.
She absolutely
did. The stories were great.
Yeah, her parents, I'm very glad that they got married because it brought about Ada, it brought Ada into the world, but boy, they were not well suited.
No.
No. So in addition to being this amazing mathematician and for pursuing a scientific and mathematical career in an era where even for a woman of a privileged class as Ada was, it was not easy to do. It was certainly not encouraged by society in general. In addition to that fascinating part of her life, she also had an extraordinary personal life. She was the daughter of Lady Anne Isabella Milbank, or Annabella, mm-hmm. as she preferred to go by, a very wealthy, very privileged only child, and very well known as quite a mathematician herself, and George Gordon, Lord Byron. The renowned romantic poet, yes. And they were opposite ends of the spectrum from intellect to imagination. Well, if you really want to say that those are opposite ends of the spectrum, Ada's life proves otherwise. But she was she was known for her piety and her good works and her rationality. And of course, Lord Byron
was the opposite.
Exactly. He was famously known by a former lover as being mad, bad, and dangerous to know. So,
and he was like a rock star.
He was.
I mean, literally, as a poet, he was revered.
Absolutely. Revered and also regarded with a bit of, there's always this scandal about him because, you know, he did not follow what you might think of as, it wasn't quite the Victorian era yet, but he, you know, he didn't always stick to propriety. In fact, he liked to absolutely disregard it. And he was just known for love affairs and, and people both were scandalized by this, but also deeply admiring of it. He had so many imitators of the young men who decided that they too wanted to be poets, and they would go about imitating his manner of dress and wanting to be just like him. And of course, he had no patience for that whatsoever.
You can join in, by the way. Questions or comments, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments. Love to hear from. And Ada really never met him.
Unfortunately, no. They had her parents had a very fraught relationship. And of course, it depends whose side of it you really listen
right.
to. And it's difficult for us to really know exactly what went on. We have their separate accounts, but, you know, it's something that we just have to read the evidence and make our own decision. But they had a very, very difficult relationship. And when Ada was maybe around 6 weeks old, her mother decided she just couldn't do it anymore. And she took the infant Ada and fled home to her parents' estate in Surrey. And that was in an era where you did not get a divorce.
Yeah.
And their separation was so infamous that people referred to it with a capital S. It was the separation. You didn't even need to mention who was involved. It was the separation and the subject for gossip and speculation. And because of her parents' estrangement, Ada never saw her father again. So she had no memories of him. The last time she saw him, she was just practically a newborn.
Really, really interesting. Jennifer Cheverini is the author of Enchantress of Numbers. That's the title. A novel of Ada Lovelace. A fascinating book, and it's great to have her with us. And she's going to stay right here with us. But Oh, my goodness me. Kate Archer Kent's come walking into the studio. She said to me off air, she said, you did such a lousy job. I've got to come in and help you.
You're calling in the troops, Larry.
Oh, my gosh. I've got to get some help here to raise some money during our membership drive. And tell you what, this is your station. I hope you will support it, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's your chance to make sure we get off to a good start in 2018. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What's so cool is we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from anonymous members and 9XM Leadership Circle member Laura Hagen from Iola. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you can get headlines and sound bites in other places. Where do you go for in-depth discussion? Where do you go, Kate?
The Ideas Network.
Of course.
That is the answer, Larry. The answer. Here, you don't just get a 20-second sound bite or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas, dive deep into topics, ask your questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information. And your support right now, when it will be doubled, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes it all possible.
Mm-hmm. And during this year-end membership drive, we have a special thank you gift. As for one of our food bank gifts, there are options available at $10 or $20 a month, I believe.
And your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Get started right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Ira Glass, host of This American Life, here to say happy centennial, Wisconsin Public Radio. It's hard for any nonprofit to stay alive and stay going and keep to a mission and keep relevant and to have done this for 100 years, it's just an amazing achievement. Congratulations, WPR.
Join our centennial celebration. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for our WPR programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And a great way to share your passion for WPR is becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with a pledge of $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year or more. We rely on member support, your support, to make great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month are important for our future. I hope you can help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And whether you're already a member or you're making your first pledge ever, congrats. Anyone can become a sustainer. Let us know what monthly amount works for you and whether you want that to come from your bank account, come from your credit card. It's that easy.
It's that easy. And once it's set up, your membership automatically renews. So start your sustaining membership right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match, it is still in effect.
Oh, yeah. There's so lots of money yet.
There is match money on the table. And I have to get my glasses on here to read across the room, Larry, or you can help me out.
It's about $2,625 that we've raised. And so that sounds like another $2,600 or so to go.
Very good. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Season of giving. Support the radio you love and do some extra something extra as well. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and for those facing hunger in your own area.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks if you've already contributed, and if you haven't, do it right now. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network, and I'm really pleased to have Jennifer Cheverini back with us, New York Times bestselling author, and her latest book. It's about Ada Lovelace, who a lot of people think are the first computer programmer, and she was doing that back around about 1830, if you can believe it. And it's a fascinating story of her life that Jennifer has written for us. And certainly, if you have a question about her, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. There were some lasting effects. I think we were talking about the strong personalities of her parents. There were some lasting effects of those two strong personalities, weren't there?
Oh, absolutely. Even though Ada didn't know her father very well because he was out of her life at such a when she was so very young, his presence loomed over everything. We tend to think of celebrity as being a very modern concept, but she really was a celebrity daughter. Everyone who loved Byron's poetry was interested in seeing if she turned out anything like him, and they wanted to see his child just to see if she resembled the father. But because of her father's all of his ways that, you know, kind of disregarded society's expectations for proper behavior, Ada's mother was deeply concerned that Ada would follow in his path, that the child would resemble the father. So she was not against poetry. She wrote poetry herself, but Annabella was so concerned that she might follow in her father's footsteps that she banished fairy tales and imaginative play and poetry from Ada's childhood education and steered her very strongly in the direction of mathematics, science, and music. And although that might, in some ways, that limited Ada, she managed to find ways to work around it. But she was always given this dichotomy. You can have the intellect or you can have imagination. And that was very, very difficult for Ada growing up because she wanted to draw on both of those parts. So those of a intellectual inquiry and of intellectual development. And it was really only after she was no longer so much under her mother's control that she was really able to draw upon both of those aspects and, you know, understand both her mother's mathematical and intellectual and her father's imagination and poetry and bring those together. And I think that's really what helped her to see where other people could not, what the potential for these early computers really could be someday.
Yeah, I think so as well. She really fell in love with math, though. I mean, she loved math.
Absolutely, she did. And it was a pleasure for her. Doing geometric proofs was like a game, solving puzzles. And when she was very young, too, she saw that her academic achievement pleased her mother, and that gave her that extra incentive to really want to do well, because her mother was somewhat distant. She was often away visiting friends at their country homes or off at spas taking various cures.
Yeah, she was not around a whole lot.
No, which was something that was deeply troubling for Ada. And so she had a very lonely, isolated childhood. And mathematics and science and all of that was something that really gave her an escape from loneliness. as a child.
And eventually she really came to meet and admire, along with Babbage, Mary Somerville.
Absolutely. When she was finally away from the country estate and she came to London and entered society, as every young woman of her privileged class was expected to do, to find a husband and get married, as one, mm-hmm. one must do, it was a revelation to her. She wasn't really that excited about the husband hunting part. That was her duty, and she was going to do it. But what really thrilled her was finally getting to make friends. And the friends she made were a lot of people that we know today.
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens was a close friend. And not only Charles Babbage, she became friends with Faraday. And Mary Somerville, who was closer to her mother's age, she was a very acclaimed mathematician and astronomer. And she took young Ada under her wing and became a very important mentor to Ada, because Ada was trying to figure out, how can I have a scientific and mathematical career as a woman? Because this, even though Ada's mother encouraged her education, which was quite unusual yeah. for the time, it was very difficult for a woman to be taken seriously and to have an academic career. Even Mary Somerville, who was so renowned by the Royal Academy, the Royal Society, for her achievements, so much so that they had a bust of her placed in their library. As a woman, she was not even allowed to enter that library and look at the books. She had to have her husband do it for her. So Ada looked to Mary Somerville for guidance of how to navigate this very difficult world of being able to pursue mathematic and scientific interests as a woman in a society that placed so many restrictions upon women's intellectual achievement.
I was thinking ahead a little bit in the storyline itself, when she, this wonderful writing that she did explaining the analytical machine and so forth, and before the writing was to come out, she said, well, I can't put my own name on it because no one would take it seriously if a woman was the author.
Absolutely. And that was a very difficult for her, because she wanted to leave her own mark upon the world. People knew her for her father's achievements. And she was not hungry for fame, but she thought that if I'm going to be known for achievements, I want them to be my own, not my father's. So she did want to create some kind of great work that would be a contribution to the body of scientific knowledge. And she also wanted to help her friend Charles Babbage get funding so that he could finally build his analytical engine and transform the world, as she knew he would be able to do. So the opportunity came about for her to publish a translation of an important scientific paper that was written and published abroad in Europe. And she was hoping that this would be able to introduce people in England, not only mathematicians, but people in government, so that maybe he could get the funding. And after she told Babbage, well, I'm writing this translation, he said, well, why, you know so much about my machine, why didn't you write an original paper of your own? And she was a little taken aback by this, and so she decided to write scientific notes appended to the translation explaining what the analytical engine could do. And as a part of this, she wanted to write an example. So here's how this machine can work. So she wrote an algorithm explaining how the machine would be able to generate Bernoulli numbers. And since these are instructions for a machine to make these computations, many people today and for several decades past have said, this is the first computer program. Now,
yeah,
some people will argue that it's not, but most authorities say no, in fact, this is the first computer program.
It's just an amazing, and along the way, she got married, had kids, while all this was going on, and that's a whole nother part of your book that I enjoyed reading about William was his name?
Yes.
I've forgotten his name already. Was a quite an interesting guy as well. The The story is really wonderful. Linda on Facebook says, thank you, Jennifer, for writing about Ada, because too much of history taught in schools focuses on his story and not enough about her story.
That's true. And unfortunately, a lot of in the years, well, the Department of Defense actually, quite a few years ago, recognized Ada's achievements, and they named a programming language after her. And there is a Ada Lovelace Day, which celebrates the achievements of women in STEM fields and encourages young girls and young women to follow these fields. But a lot of her achievements have been overshadowed by Charles Babbage, the inventor of the machine. And some people, unfortunately, even going back to Ada's time, attribute her achievements to him. They say, no, she just wrote it up. He's the one who came up with all this. But if you go back and look at their letters, if you look at their correspondence,
which I did,
what still remains, it's very clear that Ada is the one who came up with this algorithm, and that she came up with she imagined potential for these devices that Charles Babbage himself marveled at and wondered why he didn't see that first.
You know, you have a book signing tonight, do you not?
I do. I'm going to be at the Westown Barnes & Noble here in Madison at 7 p.m., and I'll be happy to talk a lot more about Ada and answer readers' questions.
And I know then you're going on tour and you're all over the place.
Right.
out of state. But you're back in Milwaukee. I did want to mention that as well. On the 18th?
That's correct.
Of December at the Linden Sculpture Garden, which is a ticketed event. It sounds wonderful.
Yes, it's part of a woman's lecture series, and it's really going to be a great time.
But tonight?
Tonight I'll be at the Westown Barnes & Noble in Madison and ready to talk a lot more about this really extraordinary woman.
Well, thank you so much for coming today and telling us about her, Jennifer. It's always wonderful to have you here, and I really enjoyed your book.
Well, thank you so much.
Jennifer Cheverini is the New York Times bestselling author of many historical novels. I always enjoy them. Mrs. Lincoln's Dressmaker was one, Fate and Traitors, a novel of John Wilkes Booth, another. And her new novel is Enchantress of Numbers. I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. And speaking about books, coming up, we're going to be talking about children's books and all the new children's books from the Cooperative Children's Book Center. And so we'll be doing that in just a minute. But I see the smiling face of Kate Archer Kent, who has joined us once again.
Hello, Larry.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for coming back. And you know why she's here? She's here to help me tell you about our year-end membership drive. This is your radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And right now is your chance to make sure we get a good start in 2018. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, so enjoy listening to the conversation with author Jennifer Cheverini. You know, a deep dive into historical novels, an open line for you to call in and talk with an author, ask a question. This is really special. This is the kind of engaging access to authors. It is what is the magic, I think, behind the Ideas Network. And this, you'd be hard pressed to find this elsewhere. So this is very special. Help keep this type of service going.
You can do that with a gift amount that works for you. Make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I'm looking up at the screens here, and I'm seeing that dollar-for-dollar match has not been met yet.
Has not been met. We still have a dollar-for-dollar match. It is up to $4,200. There is still match money on the table in effect right now. Great time to make a pledge because anonymous members and 9XM Leadership Circle member Laura Hagen from Iola will double double every dollar you give. It is their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right this very minute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donations make the programs you love possible, and you can ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. That's a really nice thing.
It is a great gesture, and these thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks, so they hit home. Do two good things with your gift to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And
we're from Madison.
We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And because the single largest source of funding is listeners, your gift is so important for the WPR programs that you enjoy.
And as we look ahead to 2018, we are so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time. That's how it works. Listeners, you provide our single largest source of funding. And if you haven't given yet this year, now is the time, especially when we have a match going on. And if you haven't given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I can tell you that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
In this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. And you'll provide meals to those in need in your area. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account, your credit card. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.